Welcome to the Pearl of Great Price podcast. Thanks for joining us today. It's the 12th of September, and on this day in Christian history, we go back to the year 1739 and we travel to Rome, where papal briefs were issued, appointing Richard Chaloner as an assistant bishop in London. He would become the leading figure of English Catholicism for the most part of the 18th century. And he was bright, but not exceptionally so, and had a well-grounded piety that was infectious and was hard-working, coupled with an integrity to his life that meant that he was trusted by the traumatised Catholic community, which was still semi-underground. As a bishop, he grew in stature as an effective leader, and his integrity and the trust that he had built meant that large amounts of money would pass through his hands and be redirected to apostolic ventures such as establishing schools and poverty relief. In this way, he was a very effective leader in a complex and challenging climate, when the Catholic community in England was still under great threat and felt very fragile. He was very popular amongst the poor, as his spirituality was very practical, and his first clandestinely published work was a well-known little book of meditations under the quaint title of Think Well On't, a colloquial shortening of Think Well On It. This would be followed by a book called The Garden of the Soul, which lasted long as a favourite work of devotion. And his popular Meditations for Every Day of the Year passed through many editions and was even translated into French and Italian. Historians remember him now for his revision of the Douay Rheims Bible, which was for a long time the leading English Catholic Bible, releasing an edition of the New Testament in 1749 and the first edition of the Old Testament in 1750. It is still in use and will be published in America. And finally, he worked hard as a historian and published Britannia Sancta in an attempt to promote among Catholics a pride for their ancestry. As one of the Protestant criticisms of Roman Catholics in Britain was their alleged departures from the practice of the early church. This calumny would be disproven by the later work of the convert John Henry Newman, see the pod of June the 16th, and Chaloner sought to demonstrate a continuity of Catholicism with the early church, and also to encourage Catholics by showing them that their present sufferings were not as hard as those endured by the martyrs and saints of the past. His constant work of publishing was all the more remarkable because much of his life was spent in hiding, and he often had to hurriedly change his lodgings to escape the Protestant informers, who were anxious to earn the government reward of £100 for the conviction of a priest. One of these spies, John Payne, known as the Protestant Carpenter, was successful in indicting Chaloner, but was compelled to drop the proceedings owing to some documents which he had forged falling into the hands of the bishop's lawyers. Chaloner had not wanted to become a bishop in the first place. He had been a student and then a teacher at the English College in Douay in France, and was well established there and happy with his life. Bishop Benjamin Petre, the vicar apostolic of the London district, had wanted him as an assistant bishop and appealed to Rome. Chaloner had spent 25 years in Douay, and when today the papal briefs arrived appointing him to the see of Debre in Partibus, he was disappointed. This was actually in West Bengal in India, but was an administration category by the Vatican, as it was intended that he would work in London. It was, at the time, the practice to add the term In Partibus Infidelium, often shortened to In Partibus, meaning in the lands of the unbelievers, to the name of the see that was conferred on titular, that's non-diocesan, Latin church bishops. The restoration of the Catholic hierarchy in England would not happen until 1850, meaning that the church could not function as an official ecclesial structure in England until then. However, Chaloner, reluctant to become a bishop, wrote to Rome, explaining that as he had been brought up and born a Protestant, he did not feel suitable. The delay lasted a whole year, until Chaloner was consecrated a bishop in a private chapel at Hammersmith in London. As Catholicism was still illegal after Queen Elizabeth's Act of Uniformity in 1559, the consecration had to be done in secret. And it's likely that the chapel in Hammersmith was only tolerated because of diplomatic immunity. A new bishop's first task is to visit the area of their see. That is where their authority extended. The district included 10 counties, besides the Channel Islands and the British possessions in America, which were chiefly Maryland and Pennsylvania, and some of the West Indian islands. The missions beyond the sea could not be visited at all by Chaloner, and even the 10 home counties took him nearly 3 years. His flock included the old Catholic nobility in the countryside, and recently arrived indigenous Irish workers. Chaloner avoided the houses of the rich and preferred to live and work among the poor of London. And in his spare hours, he gave himself time to study and writing, which ultimately enabled him to produce so many books. He provided for his people suitable prayer and meditation resources, as well as convenient editions of the scriptures, the Imitation of Christ, and the Catechism. Chaloner was born in Lewes in Sussex, and his father was a Presbyterian cooper who made barrels for wine. And after he died, Chaloner's mother was reduced to poverty and became a housekeeper to the Catholic Gage family. So Richard was brought up as a Catholic, although he was not baptised until he was about 13 years old. He was sent to the English College at Douai in France, where he was to spend 25 years there, first as a student, then as a professor, and eventually as vice president of the University of Douai. He taught classes of rhetoric and poetry, which were the two senior classes in the humanities. And his nickname was Book. And his success as a teacher was due to the devotion to this work. Though the penal laws against Catholics were no longer enforced with extreme severity, the life of many Catholic priests was still a difficult one, especially in London. Disguised as a layman in London, Chaloner ministered to his flock there, celebrating Mass secretly in obscure alehouses, cockpits, and wherever small gatherings could assemble without exciting remark. He spent much time in the poorest quarters of the town and also in the prisons. He opened 2 schools for boys, overcoming significant obstacles. Finance was a serious problem, but there were legal ones as well, as Catholics were forbidden to buy land or to run schools. So various subterfuges had to be used to get round the law. He also founded a school for poor girls at Brook Green in Hammersmith. And although he was entrusted with large amounts of money for these ventures, his private life was marked by a scrupulous mortification. As a bishop, Chaloner usually resided in London, although when there were spasms of anti-Catholicism, such as the No Popery riots of 1780, he was obliged to retire into the country. When Bishop Petre died, Chaloner succeeded him as the Vicar Apostolic of the London District. He was, however, nearly 70 years old and was so ill that he was forced immediately to apply for a coadjutor in his turn. The Holy See appointed James Talbot to this office to help him, and with the help of the younger prelate, whose assistance considerably reduced his labour and his journeys, Chaloner's health recovered. And for the last 20 years of his life, he lived almost entirely in London. Unfortunately, anti-Catholic harassment continued, particularly in London. But finally, the harassment was remedied by the Catholic Relief Act of 1778, by which priests were no longer liable to imprisonment for life. This was short-lived, however, as there was a reaction, and 2 years later, the Gordon Riots broke out, with rioters attacking any London building that was associated with Catholics or owned by them. From his hiding place, the bishop, now nearly 90 years of age, could hear the mob who were searching for him with the intention of dragging him through the streets. They failed to find his refuge, and on the following day he escaped to Finchley, where he remained till the riots came to an end. Chaloner never fully recovered from the shock of the riots, and 6 months later he was seized with paralysis and died on the 12th of January 1781, aged 89. He was buried at Milton in Oxfordshire in the family vault of his friend Brian Barrett in the Church of England Parish Church. And in 1946, the body was reinterred at Westminster Cathedral. That's all from the Pearl of Great Price today. Thanks for listening. Join us tomorrow if you can as we look at the great Russian writer Fyodor Dostoevsky and the publication of his last novel, The Brothers Karamazov, a theological drama dealing with the problems of faith, doubt, and reason. Hope you can join us. And I have received a few requests to make our archives easier to access, so we have started to group them into themes. If you visit www.pogp.net, the first group called Theologians is going up this week, from Augustine to de Lubac. If you'd like to give any feedback, you can email us on pogppod@gmail.com. And if you have time, please subscribe and share the podcast with friends.
Thank you to Kevin MacLeod for today's music, and have a lovely day wherever you are, and thanks for listening.